And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
And oh my God. I'm sorry. Let me do it again. And I will always love you. And I will always love you. And I will always. And I will always love you.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, April 15th. I'm J.E. Skeets, rolling this morning with my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o! And, of course, last but not least here, running the three-man weaver, making the magic happen, it's JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. I am still giggling over that cold open. My God, it just kept going and going. Shout-out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Please like, comment, and most importantly, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Our goal, very attainable, we think, to hit 40,000 subs by the end of next week. So please, please, please help us out. And keep emailing us your questions and comments for the next Beach Step and Podcast, nodunks@theathletic.com. Had a blast on the beach yesterday. We discussed stars that are a perfect combo of two other players. Trey with a wild one. Zion Williamson is Shaquille O'Neal plus Tony Parker. Whoa!
Yeah, buddy!
Wrap your head around that. We also tried to predict, I guess, the six all-NBA guards. There's going to be a whole lot of snubs when it comes to that one. And we talked about Jeopardy guest hosts and random sports memorabilia and Apple deodorant and so much more. So go check out that Beach Step and Pod that we posted yesterday. It's in your podcast feed and it's up on YouTube. And then finally, Immaculate Items, always, always, always available for sale over at nodunks.com. Go grab your hoodies like this one right here. We the No Dunks, baby! Okay, but we got lots here on today's show. We're starting earlier than normal because our man JD's off to get his second dose. Feeling good? Can't hear you.
Whoa.
There we
go. He's back.
Stupid. I need my vaccine. I need my vaccine. I'm discombobulated. Yeah, I'm very excited. I can't wait. I'm curious to see how I'm going to feel after I get the second dose. It's supposed to be a little more rough than the first one, which didn't really affect me at all. So we'll see.
I like that you're dressed up for your second shot, though.
Special occasion.
Big day there. All right. So, yeah, that's why we're started a little bit earlier than normal here. That's okay. We're going to talk a little playoff X factors a little bit later in the show, Trey. But we're tackling last night's action, and we're going to play graded again. And here's the rules on a scale of 1 to 10, all right? No letter grades this time. That's how we're doing it, because Wonder Boy, yes, Luka Doncic, with 1.8 seconds left. Oh, my goodness. Mavericks down 2, 113-111. He receives the inbounds pass, splits two Grizzly defenders, and then flips up a leaning one-legged floater from three-point range. He's basically like right under the net when the thing splashes through. Of course it does. Mavs win. So, Trey, the first question here in Grade It, and it's a question for everybody in the stream team. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being extremely low, 10 being extremely high, how lucky is the key word there was Luka's buzzer-beating three? Where do you grade it?
I'm not sure if you're allowing decimal points on your grading system here, Skeets.
Sure.
I'm going to give it a 7.7 in honor of Luca's number. Also, not the luckiest game-winning shot I've ever seen. I think perhaps the luckiest, at least in recent memory for me, Devin Harris, circa about 2009. Somebody strips the ball. I think they're playing against the Sixers. This is the New Jersey Nets era. Somebody strips the ball at about half court. He fumbles it, picks it up. He shoots the same leaning floater from half court. It drops. That's a slightly luckier shot, so I'm going from a 10 down to a 9. Also, apparently, Luka Doncic's last game for Real Madrid before he was drafted into the NBA, he hit a push floater buzzer beater three similar to this. So I'm taking it down another spot. Then we're at an 8. Now I'm just going to 7.7 because it looks good. And if you want to factor in Luka missing a free throw that he was supposed to make, right? I think they were saying, Rick Carlisle saying, we're making both of these free throws here. Luka misses one. You're not expecting that. No. That's a strange thing. And then you go to the other end, Grayson Allen. He got broadcaster cursed. They put that season high 93% from the free throw line up. He's having a great game. Matt, the Grizzlies are up by 2. Misses both free throws. Oh, baby. That is lucky, I suppose, for the Mavericks as well. But when you got a player named Wonder Boy and they make a wonderful play, just how lucky is it? I don't know. Like you said, it's lucky to get it off in time. It's lucky to make it. It's lucky to keep your foot behind the line. If any of those things goes wrong, this is a loss for the Mavericks. Somehow they all went perfectly right. And it just left you saying, what? What? That actually just happened?
What a
crazy
shot.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah, I think you're in the right spot here, around 7 or 8, especially with the Grayson Allen, who's a 91% free throw shooter, missing both. So just the setup there. But the actual shot itself, Tim Cato of The Athletic noted that Luka is, like, constantly practicing, like, these weird scenarios, like, be it shooting over backboards or not even facing the rim or underhanded stuff, like this weird type of, like, trickery. You know, any scenario that he can concoct there to turn things into a more difficult shot. So there is a little bit of practice. I mean, this is just on the heels of that stupid, like, viral video of Luka hitting, like, I still can't figure out the angle on how he hit that, like, what appeared to be like a 30-foot shot from behind the backboard after he did some, like, soccer skills with the ball. So, yeah, I mean, that's why it's like, this guy sort of practices these weird things. So, you know, maybe it's not all that lucky, but what a wild game. Huge win for the Mavericks, too. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, they've had some comments about the play-in tournament over the last couple of days. They're not all happy with it. So, you know what? Just get out of it and get into that 6-seed. So they're trying to get up the standings there. Tough loss for the Grizzlies. They should have had it if they hit these free throws. They played really well. But according to ESPN Stats and Info, fourth tying or go-ahead three-pointer in the final 5 seconds of the fourth quarter or overtime in Luka's career, including the playoffs. Got a lot of them already. That's a lot for that
scenario.
Okay, fine.
I'm taking this down to a 1. 0 luck.
Wow.
He says, I didn't even get a look at it. I was surprised it went in. I don't know, man. We see that picture. It looks like he's focused perfectly on the rim. It looks like an impossible shot for anybody besides somebody that, like a Luka Doncic, who is practicing these crazy things. That was just incredible. And yeah, the Mavericks had a lot to say recently about getting out of the play-in tournament, but honestly, I kind of hope they stay in there because I would love to see a one-game playoff matchup between these two teams. That was fun to watch the differing styles. Obviously, the Mavericks want to shoot some three-pointers. They weren't dropping for the majority of the night. 3 for 10 for Luka, 2 for 9, obviously, before he made the game winner. Maxi Kleba was getting set up some tasty dishes from Doncic. Brick City, 2 for 9. Looked like they could have easily lost this game because Valanciunas was doing his thing on the other end. And I think, obviously, we talked about it in the pick'em payoff picks yesterday. Valanciunas is a problem for Porzingis just because of the physicality and the girth and the size he brings. And, you know, the Bash Brothers tendencies, I guess you would say. It looked like the Mavs were going to drop this one because they were getting out physicaled by the Grizzlies. But, you know, I like offense. I love seeing some shooting, baby. Those points matter when it really counts. So, yeah, I hope these two teams stick in 7 and 8 and we get a classic in that play-in tourney.
This was funny timing, too, because someone had just either tweeted at us, our No Dunks account, or maybe it was me, or maybe it was even an email. You know, we're getting a lot of, maybe it was in the YouTube comments, for all I can remember. But somebody
it was a digital interaction.
Yeah, somebody pointed out, Trey, like, and I thought it was, like, a great point. They were like, it's such a shame that Luka has such a cool first name, Luka, and we basically just go with that now. Like, that's all we call him. Whereas Wonder Boy is such a great nickname for him, and he does things like this. And they said this prior to this shot last night. This happened in the last couple of days. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. Like, I was always leaning into calling him Wonder Boy and singing a little Tenacious D. It's obviously up on his basketball reference page and all that. It's not like we came up with it, but it's like, that is a good nickname. And, yeah, he's just Luca. But I like that we can sprinkle this in every once in a while. Cool Hand Luca, you always see appear sure. after something like that. What a shot. And again, just so weird to see the guy shoot the ball from the three-point line, and when it goes through, he's in the paint. He's like 2 feet away from it because his momentum is just taking him there, and he's obviously got the floater. Like, is he just going to add this to his repertoire? Or who's going to add this to the repertoire? Is, like, Trae Young going to start doing this? Or, you know, like, Emmanuel Quickley because he loves the floater? I mean, Harden does some weird things too. Like, is it that far-fetched that in 10 years this is sort of a type of shot for somebody? The floater from three?
I saw a meme on Twitter of a Luka Drake meme. He was doing step back three, step forward three, and I was 100% here for it. It took a while for the step back three to become a popularized weapon. Obviously, that's a James Harden thing. That's a Steph Curry thing. That's a Luka thing. But that didn't really start to take place until, you know, 2017, 30, 40 years after we had the three-point line. So, yeah, give it some time. They'll be shooting floaters from three-point line like it's no problem. Get a guy up, rather than try to draw the foul, step through, try to get the and one. Yeah. I can see it becoming a thing.
Yeah, these guys will start practicing it. They're that talented. Okay, what a shot. Unbelievable game, the Grizzlies and Mavericks game there. All right, next one, Trey. After hitting 11 threes in just 29 minutes last night, Steph Curry was asked if he would like the NBA single-game three-point record back from his longtime teammate Klay Thompson. Absolutely, Curry said. So, for those that don't remember, Klay took the record from Steph in October 2018. I think against the Bulls, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right? When he hit the 14?
Headband Klay.
Yes, yep. That's right. After Curry had made 13 threes a couple years prior, back in 2016. So, my question for everyone here, and of course for you, Trey, we're grading it. How likely is it Steph Curry takes back this three-point record for one game from Klay? And let's add to that this year. That's the twist. That not in my little bio there or the little write-up, but this year, how likely is it?
Well, I'm a 10 for the career.
Okay.
Steph Curry, I think, is going to have every single record that exists for three-point shooting by the time he retires. That includes the single-game record. You're throwing me a curveball,
yeah.
Skeetsy, this season?
Well, I asked that, or I asked that.
Give me an eight. Give me an eight. Okay. Give me a nine. Like, the guy's on fire yeah. right now. They just had this the stat. He has the most threes in three consecutive games with 29. I don't know who has the record for most in two consecutive games. My guess is it's got to be either Klay or Curry. Yeah. You know, like, Klay had a 14 three-point game. It's pretty easy to go and have another 8 three-point game. That's minor work for those kind of guys. That's an easy 22. I don't know exactly what it is, but he's on fire right now. He's playing at a level that is right on par with his MVP unanimous season. You know, he's shooting the ball incredibly well, back-to-back games with 10-plus threes. We saw the stat the first time he did it, during the 53-point game, how far ahead he is anybody else. It's just a matter of time, really, until he hits 14, until he hits 15. The question to me is, like, what's going to be the record for single-game threes by the time Steph Curry retires? Because Kobe hit 12 in 2003, Donyell Marshall 12 in 2005. That record stood until 2016. That's a long time,
yeah.
But it's been broken four times since then. So 18, 20? Could a player hit 20 threes in a game in the next, I don't know, eight seasons? I don't think it's totally far-fetched.
I definitely think that could happen. I mean, wasn't it, I think it was Tom Haberstroh tweeting too, the crazy thing with Curry here is he has yet to actually attempt 20 threes in a game. I think I have that right, where it's like a bunch of other guys have actually attempted 23s, but the greatest shooter in NBA history from distance has never even attempted that many in a game. That is wild. So, like, if he says absolutely to being questioned about this, and I know he's, like, doing it because it's Klay, and I'm sure they have, like, a little sure. back and forth. Like, I get that. But, like, there's no doubt you could have Curry taking 25, 33s in a game. In fact, you could argue they should be. And this is what's going on here with the Warriors. They're maybe doing what they should have been doing all season long. And it's just like, go through Curry and let him shoot as many threes as possible. He's obviously in a groove right now. He's shooting like 46% from beyond the arc in this month on a ton of attempts. But yeah, Trey, I think I would put this for this year, this streak he's on, man. I'll go a little bit lower. That's a lot, man. Holy crap. 14. So you'd have to hit 15, really. I'm not taking a tie. this year I'll put it at a 6, but you're right. I go way higher for him and his career here, because if he wants to, all it comes down to me is, like, does he want to? Like, does he just want to be selfish for a night and just take 25 threes? Because he could hit 15 of those. Like, there's no doubt.
Oh, easily.
Like, easily. That's, like, below his average. So, this is wild. He's on an awesome run here. Last night marked the 8th straight game Curry has scored 30 or more points. That's the longest stretch in his career. And, yeah, all these threes dropping. He's averaging 40 points per game in this month. He's running away with Player of the Month honors, I think, right now. So, yeah, we're a little early. We're only halfway
crazy,
through.
Man.
But, man, unbelievable. So, let's hear from you guys on that one. And I like the Trace question too. Like, what will be the highest we get in the next? Let's just call it 5 years. Will this record, Clay's, stay? Will it be 15? Can somebody get to 20? Or, like, do just teams start zeroing in too much? And the whole other part is, like, oh my God, if one guy's hitting 15 threes, you'd like to think your team is up by, like, 20 at that point. So, like, then you're playing the whole, like, do we got to take them out? We don't want to destroy this team. You know, we don't want to bruise their ego too much. So maybe that's an issue. You're going to need a close game. A
couple of factors you're seeing here in the stream team. It would have to happen in a close game for Curry to keep getting the ball. Because, I mean, he could have made a run at 15 last night.
Yeah.
Obviously, the jumper was there. He just didn't really have to play once the game got completely out of hand. And Ziggy Star Fox in the stream team saying, eventually teams just won't allow you to touch the ball.
Yeah.
And yes, that's certainly true. You know, if you're getting up over 13, probably it's a double team even when you're not having the ball. But I don't know. Curry always finds a way to get open, it feels like. Even last night, like, he hit 11 threes. That was incredible. He only made 3 other baskets, but the 3 other baskets were, like, the sickest layups, right? Like, crazy jelly layups. So, yeah, maybe they'll take away the 3, and then we just got to deal with some crazy English off the glass or something like that. I got confidence, though. Steph Curry, he's going to have every record. Every single one, Skeetsy.
From three-point line. Yeah, it's so, like, it's so much easier to say they would just take away Curry and the three-point line. Like, because he can move off ball. Because he's deadly in a pick-and-roll situation. So he's going to get a mismatch. He's obviously can shoot from 30-plus with confidence. Like, it's... I think some guys, you can, like, say, oh, we're going to take away Kyle Korver from shooting threes. Like, that makes sense. You can actually game plan for that. I don't really think you can really truly do it with Steph Curry if he just wanted to still get a shot off. Like, he's going to attack. He's going to find open guys. Like, he's not selfish. But if he wanted to, absolutely, he can go for it. So I don't know about that part, but great stuff in the stream team. I love it. All right, let's keep it going here. Next one. We had Joel Embiid and the Sixers topping the undermanned Nets. I mean, there was nobody playing for them except Kyrie, really. No Harden, no KD, no LaMarcus, no Blake. But Joel Embiid was a monster, and they won 123-117. Things got a little closer than they would have liked. They had come back into the game. But they are now first in the East, Philadelphia are. So I just want to ask, with that game specifically last night, again, scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest, how much stock do you put into that Sixers win?
I still got it at about a 6, just because of how good Joel Embiid is. And to me, there's a lot of players missing from the Nets, but the players they would be bringing back, they don't really answer the question of Joel Embiid. 39 last night, took 29 shots. That's a lot. Only made 13 of them. That's under 50%. That's a pretty decent job if you're just looking at that, but also 11 free throws, which Embiid knocks down. And as Kyrie Irving said after the game, they are who they say they are defensively, because when Joel Embiid plays, the intensity is there, the presence at the rim is there, and, you know, they've got a defense. They've got a defense that's going to be there, and they have Joel Embiid, who the Nets just do not have an answer for.
Right.
It's not going to be Jeff Green. Obviously, he can't guard Joel Embiid. DeAndre Jordan got a taste last night. That's a no. So who's it going to be? LaMarcus Aldridge? Maybe. Mm-hmm. I'll take Joel Embiid in that matchup head-to-head. Blake Griffin? Too small. As well, Kevin Durant? Maybe he'll have to stick Joel Embiid a little bit if he's playing the five. That's a tough matchup for KD. I mean, obviously, he's going to get it back on the offensive end, but still, Embiid is a problem, and the Nets, for all of the players they've acquired and for all of the incredible talent they have, they don't have a Joel Embiid stopper. Nobody does, so that's why, to me, even in a game that you would assume the Sixers to win, that you would assume Embiid would dominate, there's still a little stuff you can take from this, because that guy, you know, the only reason he's not going to be in the MVP conversation is because of how many games he missed, because night in and night out, he's able to put in MVP performances. We saw the full Embiid last night. You know, he gave his celebration where he holds his arms up, drinks in the adoration from the crowd. That's his like family approved celebration. Happy to see that. We also saw a gentle DX thrust last night. That one's a little bit more R-rated for the internet. But right. He toned it down a little. But when he's celebrating like that, you know he's playing like an MVP. If the Sixers get MVP performances from Joel Embiid 7 times in a playoff series against the Nets, they can beat him. They just need it every single time because there's not going to be an answer from Brooklyn.
Yeah, I guess the counter to that is, of course, the Nets still scored 117 without two guys that can go for 40 or 50. So they just might outscore them because you're right. There's nobody going to stop them. There's nobody who's going to stop them on that team. I also loved what I saw from Embiid in this game. Like, DeAndre Jordan wisely sort of has to back up. And I think that's the right play with Embiid. Like, go ahead and shoot it, man. I'd rather you shoot a 3 then you bully me inside and get the foul and get me in foul trouble and you go to the line and you're a great free throw shooter, or at least you just score easy inside. Like, that's the game plan. But Embiid was hitting them with some confidence, the 3. I think he went 3 of 6 there when Jordan was on him. But as you watch this game, that was there for him so many more times. Like the open look 3 from Embiid. Again, that's a good game plan. Like, made him shoot that. But Embiid would not fall for it every single time. In rhythm, feeling it, yeah, let it fly. That's good, because he's a decent three-point shooter. But so many times I saw in this game where he's like wide open from 3, it gets kicked to him. And he's like, nah, this is too, you want me to do this. So I'm either just going to step in, where he is money right now from mid-range, like a couple feet in, he's cash. Or he's like, you know, I'll just go at you. I will just like, there's one time where he's like, he could have shot a 3. He went in a little bit, he's like, okay, nothing's here. Just kicked it back out. He's like, screw that. I'm just going to the block. Just give me the ball back. And they just threw it into him, and he got to the line. He got a foul. Like, that's what I love to see. That's the Embiid. Like, just don't fall. Don't pretend you're Steph Curry, all right? You're not the one trying to take 15 threes here, 20 threes in a game. Sprinkle them in. Keep the defense honest, but just go down there. And I loved seeing that. Now, that all said, Sixers led by 22 with, like, 8 minutes to go. And then the Nets went on a crazy run. No Kyrie out there. Did you like the idea of Steve Nash and the Nets coaching team there to not bring back in a guy like Kyrie when it got close, and like let those guys, like those second and third unit guys that scrapped and clawed their way back into this game, let them try and close it even though they didn't? What did you think about that?
I love it. That's what the Nets have to do, especially in a game like this where, you know, you're chalking it up as a loss, honestly, before the game really starts. The Nets role players, their young guys, made an incredible run, and you're going to need those young players to do something at some point in the playoffs, right? There's going to be a time when Kyrie Irving picks up 2 fouls reaching on Joel Embiid, and Kevin Durant sprains his ankle and he's missing the second quarter, and now suddenly Landry Shamet needs to hit 3 threes to stay close.
Yeah.
They have a little bit of confidence now that they can at least put a run together against a good Sixers team. I mean, I don't think that the young guys we saw last night are going to have huge roles in the playoffs, but you need everybody come playoff time. Once it's in the postseason, you're going to have to get just little contributions here and there, and it's better to have a little bit of confidence that you've already done it at some point in the past when it comes to the future.
All right, our next one here. Julius Randle scored 32 points. He seems to do that every night now, as the Knicks did a good job of limiting Zion Williamson. They beat the Pelicans 116-106. So, my graded question for this one, and everyone in the stream team, everyone listening and watching later: how much of a lock is Julius Randle's MIP win? My favorite award, most improved. Like, again, 1 being low, 10 being lock it in, he's winning it. Where do you put it?
I think it's close to a 10, because I'm embarrassed to even say this around you.
Yeah.
The other day I was thinking, how come nobody's talking about most improved player right now? What?
Oh boy.
That thought crossed my mind. Wow. It doesn't seem like there's any buzz right now. You know,
right.
It's certainly, perhaps that's because we've got a little bit of a race for rookie of the year, right? With LaMelo Ball going down. Is Anthony Edwards going to catch him, et cetera, et cetera? We've got a race for the MVP, so people aren't focusing on most improved player. You're not hearing a lot of sixth man talk either, but we can get into that at another point. So when I saw this question in the doc, I was like, oh, maybe that's why we're not talking about most improved player at all, because Julius Randle, he seems like he's the guy. We're talking about career highs across the board.
Yep.
In his 7th season in the league, that's the definition of improvement. The Knicks are better this year. Julius Randle plays more defense this year. He's brought some leadership to the Knicks. He's got a willingness and an ability to make clutch plays. This one, it's a lock to me. He's one of the best stories of the season. So, yeah, I'm 100% in on Julius Randle making his first All-Star game and taking home MIP.
I'm 100% a 10 on this question. He's winning it, and deservedly so. Though, now I feel like I jinxed him because... go back to, like, the first month of the season. I think we were saying Jeremy Grant was a lock to win MIP. Obviously, going to Detroit, putting up incredible numbers early on, and he's maintained a pretty good level there, but I think people have stopped caring, maybe, of course, as much about the Pistons. And Randall's doing this on a winning Knicks team, mm-hmm. which is something we haven't been able to say in a long time. And, like, you just watch him, and you're like, God, he is better. Like, this guy, like, I love, like, even his post-game quotes, he's like, well, I'm the leader of this team. Like, he talked up Alec Burks last night. Alec Burks, who had another monster game, coming on late, hitting huge shots, hit a crushing three late. But, like, Randall's like, as the leader of this team, you know, I want to feed him, get him going when he's got it going. So, like, anyway, I think it's a 10. I hope I didn't jinx him because I'm pretty sure he's going to run away with this one. Jeremy Grant will get some votes, and there's some other guys, yep. too. You can play the what about this guy with this award until you're blue in the face. But, yeah, Randall's winning this, and a nice win there from the Knicks as they try and stay out of that play-in tournament, and they're doing a great job so far. All right, final one. I hate to do it to you, Trey, but I got to. The Zombie Raptors got the win last night. That's what we're calling them now. We thought they were dead, but they are still there. The Cinderella Wizards, as we're calling them, are somehow in this race. And then your Bulls lost. The Cinderella Wizards win, I should have added there. And then your Bulls lost to the Magic. Oh, of all teams. To James Ennis III and Wendell Carter Jr. It was a bad Bulls loss. Even though, you know, I was watching a lot of that one. I had it on. I was flicking back and forth. Zach LaVine, you know, started doing Zach LaVine things. And it started got a little close, but Magic closed it out. Anyway, the question is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you here on Thursday morning, April 15th, in the Bulls holding on to that 10th seed with the Zombie Raptors and the Cinderella Wizards breathing down their neck?
I'm shook, Skeets.
Oh, boy.
I am 100% shook. I'm AJ Styles in the Boneyard celebrating. This thing's over. This thing's over. No, no, no. That's the Undertaker. Boom. Dong. Is that the Raptors music? Unfortunately, it is. Oh, boy, Skeets, I was watching this disaster of a loss to the Magic. Like,
that's a bad one.
I've talked before. I take night showers, you know? I take night showers.
Yeah.
I got out. It was almost time for tip-off. I'm like, they got to beat the Magic.
Yeah.
I got to do it. I got to put on a Bulls shirt. Put on a Bulls shirt last night.
Oh, God.
They needed me, Skeets. They lost to the Timberwolves this week.
Yeah.
They now lost to the Magic. This should be a zero. This was disgusting stuff last night. A revenge game from Wendell Carter Jr. looking like they should have never traded him.
Yeah.
Not guarding James Ennis. The guy made a ton of threes. I think he hit five of them. They were all wide open.
Yep.
This was rock bottom for the Bulls. But Skeets, I am grateful for this opportunity because anyone can practice pure positivity when things are good. It's when the chips are down that it becomes tougher to have faith. That's why I got to give this a 10. I haven't wavered on the Bulls making the postseason once this year.
Yep.
I'm not starting now like Matt Austin dressed as George Michael says. You gotta have faith, the faith, the faith. Yeah, you gotta have faith, the faith, the faith. Bullsies!
Wow, nice twist.
It's ugly right now. It is ugly for the Chicago Bulls, but I cannot give up on them. No doubt the Raptors have me scared. I said it, I think, on the trade deadline show. When they didn't trade Kyle Lowry, I was like, uh-oh. I was like planning on the Raptors getting significantly worse at the trade deadline. That would have really helped the Bulls. They didn't do that. Lowry will be back eventually. I don't know about the Wizards. You know, it's the Wizards are weird to
Man,
me right now.
They're right
winning
there.
A bunch of games, and they're doing it basically around Russell Westbrook. If you build your team around Russell Westbrook, somehow it's going to succeed eventually. I don't think they're quite as realistic to catch the Bulls as the Raptors are, but trust me, I'm 100% confident right now and also 0% confident right now.
Wow, you're torn, yeah. You're, oh, man, you're in Bruglia. You are very torn right now. Yeah, it's tough with two teams on their ass with these brutal losses, and that was just disgusting. I mean, you see the final score even of the Bulls game, and it's like it wasn't that close. The Magic were kicking their asses.
Yeah, you mentioned LaVine; he was faking the funk. Yeah. Where were you the first three quarters, buddy? That's honestly the problem with the Bulls right now. They're not getting any production from anybody who isn't LaVine and who isn't Vucevic. And LaVine right now seems to be trying to fit in Vucevic, you know, letting him kind of carry the team for the first three quarters, then turning it on at the end. The Bulls just aren't good enough for that. They need him to go and try and have 20 in a quarter every single quarter.
I would find it extremely ironic if the Raptors somehow came back to snatch the 10th seed from your Bulls when all season long you're saying the Bulls are back, the Bulls are back, the Bulls are back. Then in the graveyard match and the casket match that we had last week, your Bulls buried the Raptors. They were dead. They were done. And then if they actually came back from the dead, they're back from the dead as the zombie Raptors. It would just, I would hate to do it to you, but man, I would be pumped too. if it was the Raptors, not the Wizards. Get out of here, Wizards. Don't ruin this party for me. But they probably will. You watch. They probably will. Both of us will be like crying here on the final night.
We're
going
to have to both be Wizards fans, unfortunately. Yeah, I've been saying see red this whole year. Turns out it was Wizards red.
Oh, God. God, right through the heart, right through the heart. All right, so that is great. I'm loving this segment, guys. Thanks to everybody dropping their numbers in the stream team too, and don't be afraid there in the YouTube comments to help us defeat the algorithm to weigh in on all of those.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This is going to be a little fun here. This was inspired by our good buddies Ben Golliver and Michael DePodpina at the Open Floor podcast. They were talking up playoff X factors. I was like, damn, that's a good topic. Let's start doing that ourselves. So I thought we could name a couple of guys that you think could be a real playoff X factor as we gear up here for the playoffs. And you can go anywhere with this. You can go sort of the elite teams, the middle of the pack teams, teams like our Bulls and Raptors if you want to get crazy, though that's a little more difficult to say somebody on one of those rosters is an X factor to make the 10 seed. But who do you
think the X factor is? Tomas Satoransky.
I think Kem Birch could be a difference maker. He actually was for the Raps. That's a crazy part. Hey, it turns out when you have a center, it's not a bad plan there. Anyway, who do you want to start with, Trey, as a playoff X factor?
Playoff X factor for me, let's go out west. Doesn't feel like the Nuggets have a realistic title shot right now with the injury to Jamal Murray, unfortunately. But I do think they can still win a playoff series and make things tough for their opponents further on down the line. They're still going to need a perimeter player, though, like Murray, who's able to kind of go and get their own bucket in the playoff. The defenses focus in, plays break down. Somebody's got to be able to put the ball on the floor and get their own. MPJ, no doubt, is going to be that guy quite a bit for the Nuggets. I've got a lot of confidence that he's actually going to be fine come playoff time. That guy seems like he's going to be unfazed by that kind of stuff. An incredible game from him last night. 25 points, 10 of 14 shooting, hit three threes, 10 boards. You'll love to see him hitting the glass as well. So, yeah, I think MPJ is going to be a solid second scorer for the Nuggets come playoff time. That's not a concern to me, but the X factor is Will Barton, because they're going to need something from their guards, the Nuggets are. Playmaking, no doubt, is going to come from Monte Morris. Facundo Campazzo, not bad. And Aaron Gordon, I think, will even help keep the ball moving. They just signed Austin Rivers as another backcourt option. But in a late clock situation, I think Barton's the guy kind of best equipped to make something out of nothing. Having an okay season, kind of up and down. He's at 12 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists per game, shooting 43 from the field, 38 from 3, but it feels like most of his production comes in the first half of games. He shoots 48% in the first half, scores 7 a game, only 35% in the second half, 4.6 points per game. You can't expect Murray-like production from Will Barton every single night, but you got to have him be able to show up in the second half and be kind of a dynamic player. And, you know, there are going to be times when they're double-teaming Jokic saying, anybody else beat us, anybody else, we're not going to let Michael Porter Jr. get a wide-open three from the corner. Things have broken down. Will Barton, what can you do? Is he going to be able to do it come playoff time? I don't know. That's a lot to ask from Will Barton to kind of step to the level of some of these great guards in the Western Conference. So to me, that's a huge X factor. Where is the perimeter scoring going to come for Denver?
That's a great one. I'll stick with a guard in the West for my first one here. And you can back me up on this, Trey. I had this name in the document last night before he went out and hit a game winner against his former team. I'm going Reggie Jackson. Which, my God, that is something you do not want to hear. Reggie Jackson is your playoff X factor, but I think it's a little true. Now, I know they went and got Rondo. You got Patrick Beverley, who's out for a couple of weeks. He fractured his hand. They need Reggie to be aggressive here, to attack, to score, to playmake a little bit. And he's doing a pretty good job. Reggie Jackson, I don't think a lot of people realize this, was almost out of the rotation. He was not playing a lot. They did not have a lot of faith in him, but he's sort of been like, because of that injury to Beverly and a couple of other guys, he's sort of been thrust in there, and he's doing okay. He's averaging 16 points per game, 4 assists, shooting ridiculous numbers from distance. He's shooting 47% from 3 over his last 12 games, 10 of those starts. So I think Reggie Jackson, again, Rondo's going to get some of those playoff minutes. You know, it's playoff Rondo. That's a thing. And then Beverly might be back, but Reggie really helps them when he can hit the 3, of course. And I had to check because I had forgotten about Reggie Jackson in last year's playoffs, Trey. I don't know if you remember. He barely played in the Nuggets series. He played a combined 30 minutes in a 7-game series. Which, and I cannot remember him being hurt because he played in the Mavericks series where he was actually really solid. He hit a lot of threes in that series. Hit 16 threes in that 6-game series, a lot of it coming off the bench. So there's a role there for Reggie Jackson. Again, it gives me some pause, some concern saying Reggie Jackson is a playoff X factor because I don't truly believe all the time in Reggie Jackson, but big game winner last night. They were pumped for him against his former team. You know, I know Taz talked about it on What You Need to Know Today. There was like, there was a feel-good win, you know, a bonding win for the Clips with no Kawhi, no Paul Jordan, a couple of their other guys. So I'll go Reggie. I guess in a weird way, I'll go Reggie slash Rondo just to get some playmaking and some hopefully some three-point shooting there from your point guard position for the Clippers.
I think it's going to be Rondo over Reggie Jackson. Yeah, it might be. Personally, just from watching last night's game, I think it's hilarious. Like you mentioned, no Kawhi, no Paul George, but also no Marcus Morris, no Serge Ibaka. Clippers are missing their top 4 scorers. So Reggie Jackson just had himself a Reggie Jackson game. Led the team in scoring, 29 points. Led the team in shots, of course, 24 shots. Hit the game winner on an ISO and a pull-up.
Yep.
1 assist on the evening for Reggie Jackson. 10 total for the Clippers. They carved up the Pacers with passing on Tuesday against Detroit. It was Reggie Jackson saying, I got this. He is willing to say, I got this. And that's why the Clippers wanted to bring in Rondo, right? They wanted their point guard to be somebody who gets everybody involved rather than just himself involved. But you need a guy who can score with the ball in his hands. Reggie Jackson would be incredible on the Nuggets right now, just to have somebody who could go and get to the hoop and pull up and hit a shot. But yeah, Reggie Jackson can catch fire. Obviously, he's got the confidence to take a clutch shot if the Clippers need it.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see which way they go, whether it be Rondo, Reggie Jackson. Surely both of them will get a chance.
Yeah, I think so. He'll be coming off the bench in playoff series, but he needs to hit threes. He needs to be given that opportunity because I think that helps when you've got Kawhi and Paul. Bodies start loading up on them. They're going to kick to those guys, and they got to knock them down. So there's some a small X factor for me in Reggie Jackson. In terms of the Clippers going very, very far. All right, who else you got?
All right, my other X factor, let's go to the Eastern Conference. The Heat, 7th place right now, quite possible. They end up drawing the Sixers or the Bucks in the first round of the playoffs. Tough for their title chances, but they've got as good of a chance of upsetting one of those teams, I think, as any team in the East, because they've got the best option for guarding Giannis and for guarding Embiid in probably the whole conference. My X factor, Bam Adebayo.
Yeah.
I don't think the Heat would be favored in either series against the Bucks or the Sixers, but Bam's got the size and the speed, the IQ to hang with both Giannis and Embiid. He basically played Giannis to a standstill in last year's playoffs. That's how the Heat were able to take that series so easily from the Bucks. Gonna need Bam to be at an all-defense, borderline all-NBA level in the playoffs if the Heat are gonna pull off another shocker. Doesn't seem like a long run is in the cards for Miami this postseason, but it didn't feel like that last year either. They've got the recipe, though. They play great defense, they shoot a bunch of threes, and they try to shoot free throws. They're gonna have bad shooting nights, no doubt about it, but the defense is gonna be there because of Bam, so they will at least be able to make things tough. They will at least be able to keep things close, and then, you know, if you're able to keep it close, if you have a great shooting night, if you have a great Jimmy Butler performance, those are easy ways to stack wins.
I love that one. We've talked about it on the show before. Bam's season this year, it's so weird to me. The guy's averaging 20, 10, and 5. And it's like, we barely have spoken about him. I mean, we barely talk about the Heat because they had such a weird year after last year's run to the finals. But I love that one because he can be a difference maker because he can just, like you said, slow down some of these like MVP-like guys, and then also can give you a little bit on the other end as well. So that's a great one. I'll stick in the East for my second one. It's just Kemba Walker. This won't take long. When Kemba Walker, he just plays far better in Celtics wins. So that's a good correlation, right? I mean, if you check the basketball reference splits for Kemba Walker this year, in wins, he's really, really good. Like, I mean, he's just super, super solid. He's basically a 20-point-per-game scorer. You know, he gives you, like, 6 assists, the 5 boards, usage percentage, similar to the same thing in losses, but he's just way more efficient. You know, his true shooting percentage is, like, 60% in these wins. So he's, like, hitting the 3, 38% in wins. And then in losses, he's just brutal. 36% from the floor overall, less than 30 from 3 in losses. And, again, a brutal true shooting percentage because of that, and way less points. So just Kemba, to me, a stabilizing guy. He takes a lot of threes. I mean, he takes a lot of them at this point in his career, but it's okay when he's hitting, you know, 3 or 4 of them. It's when he has those offers and the 1s for 9s and the 2 for 9s and stuff like that. So just Kemba. The Celtics are a weird team too. I mean, we all know they're a good team, but no one has them with the elite teams in the Eastern Conference, those three that we've talked about. Obviously, in the Sixers and the Nets and the Bucks, it's like everybody just has them a step below. But it's like, should we? I mean, I don't know. Like, when all their guys are there, when Marcus Smart is playing like crazy and he's all over the floor, they obviously are leaning into the Robert Williams, as we've talked about on the show. They're good. I mean, they can beat a lot of these teams in a 7-game series. But I think Kemba has to be special. He has to be a stabilizing force. So I'm going Kemba as an X factor, of course, for the Celtics winning a series 2 or 3. He's got to be good in a lot of those. Let's end this with one more. Why not? I like this question. Playoff X Factors. Who's your third one, Trey?
Oh, got to talk about another big boy. DeAndre Ayton, a big-time X Factor for me because the Western Conference has a lot of very good, very experienced big men. The Jazz have Rudy Gobert, obviously. The Nuggets have Nikola Jokic, an MVP candidate, a likely winner. And the Lakers eventually will have LeBron James, Anthony Davis. They're not traditional bigs, but those guys live in the paint. So for the Suns to make a deep postseason run, they need the DeAndre Ayton that they saw against Gobert and the Jazz earlier this month. He had 18-12, played 41 minutes in an overtime win for Phoenix. He had 7 offensive rebounds in that game. He was playing really physical. He was playing with a lot of force, and those offensive rebounds kept the Suns in the game for a lot of that win against the Jazz. Booker, Chris Paul, they're going to perform, but there's got to be a bit of an interior presence for the Suns, and that's got to come from DeAndre Ayton hitting the glass, playing defense, protecting the rim, rolling to the rim, scoring inside when he has a chance. That's a big ask for a guy making his first postseason appearance, but that's why you draft him number one. That's why the Suns want to have a big guy alongside Devin Booker in their long-term plans. They need somebody who's going to be able to hold it down defensively and, you know, put up a double-double on the other end as well. So a lot to ask from DeAndre Ayton. He's been capable at times. They just need the 100% engaged, playing strong DeAndre Ayton.
My final one is Tobias Harris. I think we saw a perfect example in last night's game that the Sixers love the Harris versus Harris matchup, and they're going to seek that out. I'm talking about Tobias versus Joe. That's a matchup they're going to hunt, and he has to deliver. I mean, especially if these two teams meet, the Sixers and Nets. He has to give them, because we talk about the Nets may just completely outscore them, no matter what Embiid's doing. Well, then you're going to need 25 a night from Tobias Harris in a playoff series against them. He had 26 last night, shot great, 11 for 17. Now, there was a worry late. Furkan came in and replaced Toby in the final couple of minutes. Now, Doc Rivers said Harris was limping around. Harris said he's got some discomfort in his knee. It's a little aching, I believe he said. So hopefully that's nothing serious, because they need Tobias Harris. Because late in game situations, when the defense is going to literally just throw three guys at Embiid and load up on him, then they need a playmaker and they need a guy to get a shot. And it's not Ben Simmons. I mean, he can create for other guys, but he's not going to be like taking a little step back three or a step back jumper or any means. Tobias has all season long, and I believe can in a playoff series. Well, I'll go Toby for the chances of the Sixers to get by, let's say, the Nets in a conference finals or a second round matchup, whenever they were to meet. He has to be huge. He has to be huge. So, like, yeah, we're picking some like bigger names here as playoff X actors, but I think that's what it is. Like, you could go, yeah, Tyler Hero needs to be special for the Heat to do things, or like pick, like, you know, the seventh or eighth guy hits six threes in a game. Yeah, of course you need that as well. But it's like the guys that are not the superstars, but the Tobias Harris's, the Drew Holidays, even the Middletons, like, they have to be special, especially when you want to take down a team like the Nets, I think, that have three guys that are like elite. So we will see. Let's hear from you guys, though. I know you guys
are
dropping.
A lot of teams have one star. There are a lot of teams that have one star. There are a few that have two. There's one that has three right now. And that's the thing is, when you're one of the teams that has one star, you need somebody else to kind of play at the level of a second star, especially come playoff time. The role players are certainly important. Strength in numbers, as the Warriors said, and they proved it year in and year out. You know, I remember a 20-point Sean Livingston game in the finals, that kind of thing. But for the entirety of the playoffs, it's all about those big money players showing up in big money moments.
Yeah, and as we get closer to the playoffs, if we know the actual matchups, we'll really get into the nitty-gritty with, like, oh, in that particular position, maybe that's an X-factor player, like someone lower on the roster there. But until we know who's playing who, it's sort of tough to do. Though I will say, I might as well give our boy Ben a plug, right? I just got this book yesterday, Ben Golliver's Bubble Book.
Oh!
Yeah, Bubble Ball!
Ben's Bubble Book, Bubble Ball!
Yeah, Inside the NBA's Fight to Save a Season. I haven't started it yet, but shout out to Ben Golliver for sending that over. I can't wait to dig into that one. Ben Gulliver's a fantastic writer. He's a good podcaster, too, so I can't wait to read this book. He was down in the bubble the entire time. We had him on when he was down there, right? Early on. So we'll have to have him back, like, to talk about this book.
Yeah, he's letting that flow go. Right I don't remember Ben Gulliver having a mop top at all during his media career. The game has changed.
You think he's inspired by Lee Ellis's locks? And he's like, oh, yeah. I can do that. Oh, Aquaman! Nice.
Too quick.
Great stuff. Let's hear your playoff X factors as we gear up for the playoffs. Let us know in the stream team. Let us know in the YouTube comments. Wouldn't you love to travel without the actual, you know, traveling part? For example, I want to go to Lisbon, let's say. I just snap my fingers. I'm there. No driving to the airport. No flight delays. No fools at security who still don't know that, yes, you need to take your laptop out of your bag and place it in the tray. Oh my God, how long have we been doing this? Travel without traveling. I want it both ways, but that's not possible. It is with Mack Weldon, though. Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort. But this is possible to have it both ways. Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. From their light-as-air underwear to innovative anti-odor tees and versatile yet comfortable pants, Mack Weldon has a full range of clothes that never go out of style. I've got it all. I got the Air Knit underwear. I got the Ace Collection sweatpants. I've got the Silver Peak polo. Everything fits perfectly. All I get is compliments. Mack Weldon has figured this stuff out. Because performance fabric usually means clothes that look or feel sort of techy or shiny. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of a busy life. They look like regular clothes, which is good. I want regular clothes, but feel like the latest in modern comfort. They're the go-to choice for guys who want to look great without even trying. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with the promo code NODUNKS. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code NODUNKS.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Trey, it's time for Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Tweet of the Night. Basketball adjacent, we will say. This comes to us from Kim Bossen via Sam Unono. Here are Team USA and Team Canada's closing ceremony uniforms for the Olympics. Obviously, the Olympic athletes from the NBA who make their national teams would be wearing these in the closing ceremony, Skeets. What do you think about this Canadian closing ceremony look? A straight up jean jacket, straight up denim.
Yeah. There are other looks I want to point out. Like, there are a bunch of other like outfits. I saw that Team Canada in theory will be wearing like some sort of like more simple, like red, like shiny jackets and like windbreaker type stuff and like decent t-shirts. But yeah, I guess they will in theory have the option to wear these jean jackets. I do not really like them. I also am not the biggest fan of the jean jacket look, the Canadian tuxedo. But I have a weird feeling because I saw a ton of people clowning these, right? Like everyone's like, these are stupid looking. Like these are ugly. I think these will be like massive hits in Tokyo at the Olympics. That is my prediction. Like these will be like, people will want them. I'm just throwing it out there now. I don't think I would, but I think people would. So yeah, I'm a little torn. JD, I don't know how you feel about that, or what do you think of these things?
Yeah, I don't like them. I love them. This is the perfect thing to wear to dust off coming out of a pandemic, going to a foreign country for the first time. You put on the only thing that still fits you, your favorite jean jacket, man. It's the most Canadian thing ever. I mean, when I saw this tweet earlier and people clowning them as well, and at first I was like, oh my God, it's really phoning it in here. But then, you know, especially the front look, you know, with this.
Yeah, the back is better,
the
right?
The back is good. It's yeah. I don't mind that. But the front of it, I turned off immediately. But then you look beyond the jacket, and then there's this really cool T-shirt with the black maple leaf with the gold around it. I'm 100% buying that.
Yeah, I mean, I might not. Cool.
And then you were talking about the red jacket. At first I was like, what? It looks like rubber. But then I looked at the high def version of it and I was like, oh, it's actually pretty cool. I mean, the Olympics is the perfect time to drape yourself and you're the flag of your nation. So why not? I mean, I saw a lot of people clowning the Americans.
Is this their sailing team here?
It's like, well, they look like sailors or astronauts, you know, looking up to the moon. But then again, it's just, I don't know. I like the moon. I like NASA. It's like one of America's greatest achievements. So why not be inspired by that? And look at this. There's a fanny pack. There's an official Canadian fanny pack.
Trey Kirby loves that. Yeah.
I love this look right here.
Yeah.
I do like Canada committing. They're saying, we're wearing white pants to the closing ceremony. Yeah. You can lock it in. It's going to be hot. You got to keep cool out there.
I would wear this entire outfit from the hat to the shirt to the pants and the fanny pack around my shoulder. And also, let's not forget previous Canadian outings. Like, this is Beijing from 2008.
That's brutal. That's horrible.
Okay.
Awful, right? And then this is Barcelona in 92. Look at their hands. They've got Canadian flag gloves. They're wearing one glove and holding up a maple leaf. They looks like claws, you know, like, so anyways, these are awesome compared to some of them that have come out. So I'm 100% in.
Okay. The shirt with the jean jacket, the one that you said you're going to buy, the black one,
mm-hmm.
Does look like a Batman logo.
It does from underneath. Yeah.
Sure.
Like, do we have Batman on Team Canada this year? Like, that would be pretty cool. I didn't know he was Canadian.
Yeah, I thought that was Superman that's Canadian, actually.
yeah, right.
Shout out my guy, Joe Schuster. Yeah, right.
Good call. Okay, so yeah, well, let's hear from you guys. What do you think? In theory, you're right, Trey. If the Canadian basketball men's team and women's team, they would be wearing those, and of course the dream team would be wearing the American versions there, the astronaut type slash sailor. What do you think of those ones, Trey, the American version?
Well, they look like Ralph Lauren designed them, I'll say that.
Yep.
You know, I love to see a tucked in shirt. They're going even further though. Is this a tucked in jacket?
Sort of.
Think
almost.
It's sort of spreading. They're all got their hands in their pockets, all of them, and it's spreading the jacket away from their crotch area, I guess, to show off the belt, which I actually think is kind of hideous. It looks like an old tie that has been wrapped around. Also, yeah, with
like
the white pants,
Bing
though.
Crosby. Yeah, I guess everybody's going for light-colored fabrics to keep cool. I don't know. I mean, when you look at a Ralph Lauren fit, it's just like, it's Americana to the extreme.
Yeah.
That's his thing, right? I would have liked to see them go with those crazy wide-leg denim that that we've seen him wearing like during a runway show, and everybody's like, wide-leg denim is coming back. Look at this old man wearing wide-leg denim. Maybe they've got that as a secondary fit, much like the Canadian team has as well. I don't know. It feels like if you're going to go for the Team USA look, you got to have it all. Because, I don't know, you can't really piece it out. You got to go full polo.
Yeah, and Ziggy pointing out here in the stream team, everybody's wearing white pants. Better hope the Olympics finish before Labor Day. 100%, Ziggy. That's a real issue. You know, I think it's scheduled to end before Labor Day, so hopefully it will. Okay, I'm glad we snuck that into the show, because there was we were getting... I don't know why everyone wanted to get our opinion being Canadians. The only Canadians I guess a lot of people know.
That's like, right.
What do you guys think of these? Would you be wearing these? But thanks for tagging us in all your social media channels there. All right, pick 'em results from last night. Oh my goodness, this is getting crazy. This doesn't happen often where a small line and the underdog covers that small line on back-to-back nights in Pick'em is what I'm getting at, because that's what happened. We had Tass and Trey taking Dallas. They were favored by 2.5. They had to win by 3 or more, and they did it. You know, Luka hits the game winner. They win by 1, but they did not cover. That's a win for the Grizzlies, so I needed it. I'm 4-6, and JD picking for Lili gets him to 6-4. We got a three-way tie for first. Everybody's 6-4 except me. I'm 4-6, but I'm still alive. I'm in this thing. So let's get to tonight's game. Tass has picked it for us. It's Milwaukee in Atlanta here, taking on the Hawks. Milwaukee, the Bucks, favored by 6.5 points on the road. JD, let's start with you for Lili. Who do you like tonight?
I like the Hawks. I think they'll cover.
Okay, yes. Could we get the third straight game where the dog covers even though they lose maybe? Trey, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm also going to go with Atlanta here. Bucks played last night. What's up with Giannis? Is he going to be back? I don't know. It seems like a little bit too big of a line for a Hawks team that's playing pretty well right now. So give me Atlanta.
Yeah, this is a tough one without knowing really what Giannis is doing. I don't think there's an official report. That's why I'm also leading the Hawks. I think they cover this. But let's find out who Tass goes with.
6.5 points. Whoa, tough line and a lot of questions. Giannis could return after missing 6 games with a knee injury. Bogdan Bogdanovic could have a revenge game against the Bucks. You tried to trade for me. I'll drop 40 on you. Mike Budenholzer could have a revenge game against his old team. Line seems huge. Strange, so I'm going with the Bucks.
Oh, yeah. Tassie's looking at that line saying that doesn't make sense. That should be closer. I like that swerve. So Tass taking Milwaukee. Everybody else taking the Hawks. Go Atlanta. All right, that's it for us. We got to get out of here. JD's got to go get his second shot. Congratulations to you. I hope you're not feeling too ill after that second needle. You're going to be good to go for at least tomorrow's show?
Of course.
Okay, good. Yeah, I should say, No NBA happy hour tonight, guys. We're taking the night off because you don't really know how this is going to affect JD. Exactly. You never know. But the Top Shot Hot Boys, TK and I, we'll probably be around tonight. Maybe later this afternoon, maybe tonight. Who knows when? To rip a pack or two on the Top Shot Hot Boys. Yeah. We got some hollow icons to rip. Let's find some LeBrons in there, TK. Also, maybe we can land a Cool Cats pack as well. They announced they're dropping a new one today. I believe it's at 2 p.m. Eastern if you want to try your luck and get one of those packs. I think there's 90,000 packs, so might have a decent chance of getting one. So, yeah, some Top Shot Hot Boys probably later tonight. So subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube so you know when we're going live. Email us your NBA questions for the next Beach Steppin' podcast. Get them in, nodunks@theathletic.com. And yeah, like, comment, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Get your merch, nodunks.com. And hey, if you are not a subscriber to The Athletic yet, I don't know what the hell is wrong with you, but just go to theathletic.com/nodunks and sign up already. The gold that's over there, you will thank us later. Theathletic.com/nodunks. JD, good luck. We'll see you guys probably later tonight and then tomorrow with the Drop Podcast, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, nothing really stuck out to me as a quote here, but I did see on that Team USA uniform that they were wearing ties around their waists and not around their necks. Really makes you think.
Embrace the day, people. You could stay.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.